It was a very fun time of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that I feel very privileged, actually, to have even been able to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't think I want to rely on dangerous work like that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast.
Woo-hoo!
We are here today riding down the River Rapids. We got a little bit of rain coming down. We're like in a rainforest. It's very magical. It's very soothing. But we're going super top speeds because you know why, Cosmo?
Why?
Because we're all joined here today. We're going to have a really fun time.
Yay.
Joining me, also producing, which I skipped this part, is Cosmo from the Cosmo Network.
Hi, guys. In honor of our guest, I'm wearing my favorite pink breast cancer clown nose that I got like a long time ago. So, yeah.
You know, I pictured you wearing like a safari outfit, but now like you're a safari clown.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like you're like a both.
Hello. Welcome to the safari. We're here today with a couple of guests, you know? Yeah.
You got to squeak your nose then. Ha ha. There you go. And joining us today in the middle of the canoe, sandwiched between us on our safari adventure today, is Sugar Val.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
Yay. I'm so happy to be here.
It's been a minute since you've been here. And
yeah.
I know you'd reached out like a couple times being like, could you have time for me to come back? And I've been like, yes, please come back.
No. Yeah. Always figuring out schedules is hard.
Yeah.
But I'm so happy we finally figured it out. We're here. We're doing it.
Yeah. Yay. And like last time you wham bammed us with some like really great Reddit stories.
Yeah.
That I was not prepared for. So if you guys haven't seen that episode, be sure to go back and watch it because we sort of engulfed the Reddit-isms and then started adding it to the channel. So
yeah.
I'd like to think it was because you brought some really good ones. So.
Well, yay. I'm so glad. They're really fun. They're so fun to read. Oh my God. Love a good Reddit story.
They're addicting. Like, they're kind of like my guilty pleasure.
It's real.
Like other people's drama.
Exactly. You have no stakes in it and you just get to fully indulge in a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know, judge people.
Kind of, yeah. You judge them based on their decisions.
I don't know. Oh my God.
Because you're like, why did you do that?
Yeah. Am I the a-hole? You really get to decide.
Yeah, truly.
Oh my God.
And then it's fun to see if like other people agree with you in the comments. Because like
true.
Sometimes like Cosmo and I will get into it where it's like, he'll be like, no, this person's not the a-hole. And I'm like, yes, they are. What do you mean? Like, we have very different views.
Yeah.
We are diametrically opposed, as some would say sometimes.
Yeah, but sometimes we do agree.
Yeah.
We do agree on some things. It's like, we're both shock each other too. And we're like, whoa, you agree too? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's
like
stuff.
A whole thing sometimes. We're like, huh, I did not think you'd agree with me, but
right?
We're here. We made it.
Yes.
But we both agreed that we would have loved to have you come back. So we're so happy that you made time and you're available. And
yeah.
And we just love your vibes.
Hell
yeah. Yay. Well, yeah, happy to be here.
But speaking of like your vibes, because last time you did a Reddit reading, our audience didn't really get to know much about you and like kind of where your mind goes and what things make you Delulu. But before we get into what makes you Delulu, I have a Delulu about you.
Oh, okay.
Because like I am a fan of your content. Like I am a consumer.
Okay.
I am a watcher. I'm not always a commenter because, you know, sometimes you're a little busy. But like
okay.
I see all of your content like all the time because I'm always watching like other creators make things and build things.
Ah.
And like you have such a great style of like editing and making things palpable, but I don't understand the Miku thing.
What is
with the Miku? Like I don't know what anime it's from. I don't know why people make like
okay.
Miku like because they're all real or something. Like they're all what is it? Canon.
Canon. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna give you a quick Miku rundown.
Great.
All right. So Miku is from a music software, for lack of a better word. Like originally. Okay. So where she originally comes from is from, yeah, a music producing software where you can make your own songs and you can add false voices. So a lot of people think Miku is like AI. This is a pre-AI by a long shot. I do believe, now don't quote me on this, some people have said that Miku is entirely synthetic. I'm not sure about that. I think there was a voice to at least help model some of Miku's voice.
Hmm.
But anyway, the point is that she initially stems from this music software where you can program her to sing anything you want. And so that's where she initially came from. And this software is Vocaloid. Mm-hmm. And that's where the world of Vocaloid really stems from, is from music. That's like at the heart of it. So there are all these different voices. Miku is just one of them. There are others. I don't know if you've heard of like Rin and Lem. They're the like the yellow twins. That's kind of what I call them. They've got yellow hair and they're very cutesy together. But there are other Vocaloids that do the same thing where you can program their voices to sing whatever. So that's like where the universe began.
Oh, okay.
And the creator of Vocaloid and Miku has said that, due to the nature of this, like it all stems from creativity, since she, like, the software itself is designed to create anything you want. And so Miku follows the same sort of logic. Like, she is sort of a blank canvas for anyone to impose, like, their ideas and their creativity, not just now in music, but also through design. And so that's where you see all of the, like, different Miku costumes that are Miku this, Miku that, Miku mashups, or, you know, just people's different renditions on Miku. Yeah, everything is canon. Wow. Said so proclaimed by the creator. Like, the That's creator cool. has said, anyone can run with this. Yeah.
Wow. I kind of love that.
Do you feel the vibe?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Because, like, I enjoy it and I understand, like, why people like the character, just because, like, the design's, like, super fun and really cute. Fair. But I never understood, like, I was like, okay, so what anime is this from? Like, where I missed the boat? Like, how did we get here? And, like, why does everybody love it so much? And I think it's just because it's like self-expression.
Yes. Yeah. I think so too. In the world of cosplay, I don't know how you feel about this. Sometimes I've noticed over the years, cosplay can feel a little limiting.
Yeah.
Especially when people are so dead set on being exact, having a costume be so exact to a media. But where is the costume design element? You know what I mean? Right. Where is the self-expression element? Because that really does have a place within cosplay, but sometimes it can feel really stifled when a lot of the community demands like perfection to a design.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Miku really allows people to still enter the cosplay world and also do it on their own terms.
Yeah.
Yeah. And be, and have that form of self-expression. So I think it's really beautiful, but it's not from, a particular anime.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now, like, obviously it's grown so far beyond this software that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's so far beyond that at this point because she has a movie, she has a game, she has, oh my God. Like, there's so much media involving Miku. I see how it's like easy to kind of get lost in all of that.
Yeah. And like, I feel like I'm lost in like the best way, because a lot of creators I follow have like really jumped on board with it. Like, there's a girl who made like a wig with legs.
Yes. I think you're talking about actually a friend of mine, Keegan Cosplay.
Yes.
Love you, Keegan. But yeah, she made the wig with the legs.
And I was
attached.
Like, what is happening? Like, I don't, okay. Like, I love it. I can see the legs. It's great. But I'm like, why? Where? Huh?
That one in particular, it's from a cursed meme.
Got it. Okay.
Oh my God. Which, if you find it, hopefully we can put it on screen. There's a cursed meme of, we call it Legku.
Legku? Oh man. Oh my God.
Like in Star Wars, Legkus?
No.
Okay.
But kind of, you know what? It looks like the, oh my God, what are they called? The Twi'leks?
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Twi'leks.
Those are called Lekus. Lekus.
Oh. Yeah.
Star Wars, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So it could be a play on words or a future Miku cosplay mashup.
Oh my God, yes, a Twi'lek Miku?
Yeah.
That would serve. Somebody's got to do it.
Yep.
Somebody out there in the universe that has money. That has money right now and needs an idea. You're welcome.
You've got it.
Have it. We don't even want, well, maybe we want a little credit, but like, you know, just like subtly at Delulu Canoe Podcast in the corner. But now that I've disrupted why I completely brought you here on the show, I feel I feel so much educated. Wow. I cannot talk right now. I think my mind is like exploding because now I feel like I finally am in on it and I know what's going on. But this is your episode and it's about like what makes you Delulu. So I'm really curious, like, what is something that like makes you feel Delulu? Because you're such a unique individual. I'd be curious to know like what goes on in your head, you know?
So as a creator, I've only really gained a following in the last maybe 3-4 years or so. But prior to the pandemic, what really made me Delulu was thinking I could be a live performer.
thinking.
But not, okay, so not just thinking, I guess, but doing it.
Because you did it, right?
I did it, yeah. So when I first moved to LA, I just wanted to be an artist. I wasn't dead set on really any career path. I just wanted to be an artist in some sense. Yeah. And I was DeLulu enough to come to LA with pretty much no money and just dead set on being a performer in some capacity. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that prior to leaving my hometown in Phoenix, Arizona, I was taught like a couple of circus acts.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, are you a sword swallower?
Oh my God, in my dreams.
Spinner? Oh, okay.
I wish. Okay, a little thing about sword swallowing. Yeah. It's so hard to find someone who will teach you.
Oh.
I have really struggled to find like a teacher, and there's only a small handful of people who do it.
Yep.
Oh my God. So that would be a dream. If anyone sees this that wants to teach sword swallowing,
yeah,
your girl's committed.
Yeah.
I'm committed. I want to learn. No, but in Phoenix, Arizona, I want to credit Oh my gosh. I'm blanking on his name. Nathan of, it's a little shop on Mill Avenue. And I'm so blanking on the name right now. I'm going to have to think about it in a minute. But Nathan,
no worries.
You're out there and I love you. And this man in Arizona taught me a couple of my like beginning circus skills that really took me a long way.
Oh, yeah.
And he taught me how to eat fire, mm-hmm, and how to walk on stilts.
That's cool.
Yeah. Rave Circus. Oh, sorry. That's his business. Not to like plug.
No,
but
please do.
But he deserves credit. So Nathan of Rave Circus, you're amazing. And he really taught me my like beginning skills that literally made my living when I came to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stilt walking and sword swallowing and fire eating.
Yeah.
So, did you cherry pick those two for any particular reason?
I think they are two of probably the easiest entry level skills.
Okay.
If you want to do any kind of like circus act, mm-hmm, juggling takes quite a bit of practice.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to juggle, to be honest.
Really?
I have pins at home and I'm like, I can do a few revolutions, but I'm still struggling. I need to get that muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
And stilt walking, don't get me wrong, is muscle memory.
Yeah.
But I feel like, yeah, I feel like with just a few practices, depending on your motor skills,
yeah, definitely,
that you could pick it up. Or if you have any kind of like history of dance, mm-hmm, I know you do.
Yeah.
I feel like it's definitely an easier skill to pick up if you've already got a little bit of fluidity within your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually have stilts in my garage. We've talked about this. Yeah. Because I used
Wait,
to stilt
really?
Walk.
Wait, really? I forgot. Oh yeah. My God. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. No. Did you say you used to do it for Universal?
So I got trained at Universal.
But Very cool.
I never auditioned or did anything with the... Because you could sign up for classes because they always need stilt walkers for like Mardi Gras or for like daily ops. But I never like auditioned for anything just because like the falling to me would be like very detrimental just because like... I like to think that I'm a pretty sturdy person, but I don't want to test that. So,
yes.
And they make you go all the way up. Like, I think it's called six holes is what they used to call it when I worked there. That basically means like the entire stilt is extended all the way. And for somebody who's only 5'4", that's a lot of height off the ground for me as somebody who's not used to it. So it's like imagining like falling, and they teach you how to fall so you don't damage anything. But all it takes is like one miss on like the balling up, or like you catch yourself on your wrist and like
you can
broken.
Break something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty scary skill just because like you're not as in control as you think, because kids can come up and grab you.
Yes.
And they do. Like I remember I did MegaCon as Tafiti from Moana. That was my very first convention. I decided I wanted to stilt walk like a crazy person. And there was a kid.
I'm sorry. Wait. At your first con?
Yeah.
You stilt walked?
I did.
That actually is bonker. That's DeLulu. Yeah,
very.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you didn't get hurt.
Same.
Oh my God.
My mom was my attendant. It was really great. And it was really cool because like you don't usually like see conventions at that height. So it's kind of cool like walking around being like, wow, I can see the top of all these booths. I can see things that I can
normally a whole new world.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Actually.
So I feel like we definitely need to come up with a cosplay that you and I can do together where we're still walking.
Oh, I would love that.
But
definitely with handlers.
Yes, with handlers. And you're quite a bit taller than I am.
True,
so
true.
I feel like I would stay lower to the ground. So we just need like two characters that like make sense on stilts but are too... opposed heights.
I think so. We'll have to look into it.
Yeah.
But no, I think you bring up something really interesting that people don't really think about. I think people, when it comes to performers in general, they sort of they stop seeing you as human in a way that they forget you can be injured. They forget, yeah. Or they think that somehow it's a trick. Like, it's as if it's not like a skill and, you know, you're working on a body that, yes, you're fallible. And if you fall, you can get hurt. And it is possible to fall. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually like part of why I stopped doing it, because I was so fearless.
Yeah.
In my early 20s, that's when I came here. I just turned 21 when I moved here. Mm. And I was so fearless. I remember I didn't even have my own stilts yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was on Craigslist
looking for work.
I found the stilts from some, like, on a port of a dock. I found a deal for stilts for like $50.
That's nothing.
Crazy.
Wow.
And then I had like no money. So I booked my first job before I had the stilts.
Stop it.
With the guarantee that I was like, okay, if I charge these to my credit card and I do the job, then I can pay for my stilts. Mm-hmm. That will then, you know, make me money.
That's crazy.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And I think also people don't even realize, it sounds so fake, but the clown economy, the performer economy is real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it makes a surprising amount of money. But it does require that, yeah, you're putting yourself on the line a little bit, like your safety genuinely is at risk when you say, I was scared of falling.
Yeah.
Like, that is so valid, even as a very versed performer. I've fallen one time and it was terrifying.
Oh.
And it was due to a costume malfunction.
Oh, no.
Where my stilt covers were just definitely too big.
Yeah.
Like wide. And so I was at an event, it was outdoors. They're billowing in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm walking on my stilts, one of my legs caught the stilt cover. Like, it got stuck on my other leg, essentially tying my legs together.
Yeah.
And yeah. And sure enough, like, they're stuck together. If I can't move, I'm cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I went down, and fortunately, like, I had falling training,
mm-hmm.
which is so important. If you want to walk on stilts, learn to fall first.
Yep.
But I had my falling training, so I sat into it. That's what you're really supposed to do, is like really sit deep into it, like a deep squat.
Yep.
And try not to like fully catch yourself on your arms, because you could break your wrists, you could break your arms. And so, yeah, fortunately, I used my falling training as instinct. I'm so glad kicked in.
Yeah.
And I did not get hurt, but
good.
It really did terrify me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Because now you have that experience, and now you know what that feels like.
Yes. And that I was like, oh, okay, so this really could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And in an instant, I have to, you know, I have medical bills to pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that really freaked me out. And as a performer, you make a decent amount of money, but you're so reliant on the gig work, on, you know, making sure that you have gigs planned. Mm-hmm. So it's just really scary to have all of your income tied into something where you could be injured in a moment, and then all of your income goes away if you can't perform for weeks or months or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's really scary. And I didn't realize how expensive like medical bills are here till my partner years ago got hurt, because he used to work at Medieval Times.
Oh.
He jumped up a horse and broke his ankle because he didn't Yikes. Fall properly. And
it happens.
Back then it was $7,000. Just to be like carted from the location to the hospital.
No.
And so luckily he got hurt at work. So workman's comp stepped in and covered it.
But Thank God.
I was like really nosy. So I like went with, and obviously was like, well, I want to kind of like, one, I'm here to support you because you're my partner. But two, I want to know like what this all looks like. And like the medical expenses are insane. Like, they're crippling. And that's why you see a lot of performers and people in general get hurt outside of work and outside of whatever, getting injured, and then all of a sudden are completely set back in life.
Yes, because, I mean, and if you're working for an establishment, you have workman's comp, you have
exactly.
all these protections. And even as a solo performer, you can have performance insurance, but typically, I hate to say it, performance insurance largely covers the venue
mm-hmm.
and property, not you.
Yeah.
So you're Ugh. Still having to pay for your medical bills typically. And in addition to that, if you're freelance, you have no fallback. You have absolutely no safety net.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it was a very fun time of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that I feel very privileged, actually, to have even been able to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't think I want to rely on dangerous work like that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like stilt walking is more dangerous than fire swallowing, though?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I feel
100%.
Like stilt walking. Yeah. Because like, what's the worst that could happen when you're swallowing fire? Like, because your mouth is wet, you know? Like, yes. I don't know if y'all know. So it's like.
So everybody knows your mouth is wet.
Wow.
So it's like. Yes, but yeah, totally.
Yeah. Did you find that to be scary at all? Like bringing fire close to your face and.
I think initially, especially when you're learning, when you're new, it's very shocking.
Yeah.
It's very daunting to have a flame right next to your face. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I was learning, one of the first things that I was taught or that I was told to do was to literally like take my hand, put it over a flame. It's not going to burn you instantly. It's not going to burn you instantly. You don't have any sort of like fuel on your hand that would make it immediately flammable. So you can really like touch a flame for a moment or two, for really a few seconds without it hurting. And when it comes to fire eating, the most daunting part is, yeah, having the flame near your face. And if you're outdoors, the direction of the flame, depending on wind, changes. Ooh. So if you're doing fire eating outdoors, you do have to think about, yeah, where is the wind blowing? Because where is the flame going to go? Yeah. But yeah, your mouth is wet.
Yeah.
And once you seal your mouth fully, as long as you're committing to the bit, you really got to commit to eating that fire. If you really commit and fully seal your mouth around a flame, you're depriving it of oxygen. Mm-hmm. So it cannot survive. You're going to snuff out that flame. So it's really just, I think when you're first learning, it is the most scary and the most daunting and probably the most dangerous as well. Because if you don't commit to snuffing out the flame and it pops back up in your face, yeah, that could happen.
Wow. Did that happen to you?
Scary. No, but okay. One time. I was doing a trick.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very fun trick. It's a pretty easy, I would say fairly beginner flame transfer where you have two rods, both have fuel on them. One is lit, one is unlit. And so yeah, like I said, it's a flame transfer and it looks very showy. What you do is you stick out your tongue, you take your unlit torch and you place it on your tongue and it puts a little bit of fuel on your tongue. So it'll hold a flame for a bit.
Mm.
So you take your unlit torch, you douse it with a little bit of fuel. And then you take your fire torch that's lit, it lights on fire. You can take your unlit torch and then it lights the unlit torch. And it's just a cute transfer trick. So like,
yeah.
Unlit, lit, now she's lit. Whoa, fun little trick. But I wasn't getting enough fuel off of the unlit torch during this one performance. And it was live, so I was, you know, a little panicked. And I was newer to doing the trick. And so I made the mistake of, I was like, well, I really want this fuel on my mouth. So I bit the unlit torch a little bit to get more fuel and it sprinkled down the side of my cheek.
No.
And I was like, whatever, it'll be fine. Ooh. And it was not fine.
Oh no.
And so then when I brought the flame to my face, you can guess what happened. It lit all the way down my cheek.
Oh no.
And I had to like very quickly sort of like... swipe it off so no one saw that my face was on fire.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's the only big mistake that I've made. And even then, I wasn't like out of work. I wasn't severely injured. And it was like not even a first degree burn. So it healed in just a couple days. So like, but you know, that's why I was saying, it sounds like fire sounds so much crazier than stilt walking, but really stilt walking can injure you for a much longer period of time.
Yeah.
For sure.
Especially if you're not, like you said, not taught properly how to fall. It's like your bones take a while to heal. I don't know if y'all know about that, but they take some time.
Fire's a trip. I used to do that at a bar, put 151 in my mouth and just spray it out, you know, onto the bar with a heart shape that's on the bar.
Oh, cool.
But it got to learn how to spray it out, that's a technique. It's not just and it's out. It's just like you really have to like mist it, you know, and over flames. And Yeah, I did that a couple of times, and then the third time I just burnt myself. And
oh no!
It was my fingers though; they were lit. My fingers were lit. I went like this. Okay. And, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the cigarette. I used to take the cigarette, put it in my mouth, and take it back out. You know, you flip it. You ever seen that like in old movies, in 80s movies?
No.
You're smoking a cigarette, and I have it hanging right, and yeah, with your tongue, when it's like kind of short, you know, you can take it and flip it, and it's the cherry's inward inside the back of your mouth. And then you can flip it back out. It's crazy.
Oh, you know what? I used to do a similar trick just with matches. Mm. And yeah, you can hold the match. And if you're like inhaling a little bit, it allows in enough oxygen to like keep it lit.
Yeah.
And so you can make your mouth look like a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
With just like you light the match, put it in your mouth, and then you're just like inhaling the slightest bit and you hold it in there and it like your whole mouth lights up. It's just a fun little party trick.
Just to show off a little bit. Yeah.
I didn't know about the cigarette one. Yeah. That's neat.
Oh, yeah. I used to never do it with matches, but I used to do it outside just to impress people. So it was fun.
Yeah.
Just to flex a little bit.
Just to flex a little.
Speaking of flexing, you also used to do burlesque too, right? Like you used to be a stage performer in that sort of realm as well.
I don't know if I ever advertised it, but yeah, I would take burlesque jobs, and typically, I mean, it was the most fun if I could incorporate fire somehow.
Sure, yeah.
Because, okay, it is extremely fun to do burlesque. And do you know what fleshing is?
No.
Okay, well, I'm like, maybe we should also just explain for the audience.
Sure.
Fleshing is the act of rubbing fire on your body.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's hot.
It's hot.
It's really
in
hot.
A couple of ways. Oh my gosh. And so I didn't like publicly ever advertise this, but it was very fun for me. I would very occasionally, it was kind of on the low. Like I used to be a door girl at some underground parties.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day. So I was very involved in this like party circuit. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so I used to have an act that like was on the down low that I did for a lot of these like
events. Ooh, yeah, yeah.
And parties like that where, yeah, I would do some burlesque and come up with a look where I could, you know, come off in pieces.
Yeah.
You know the drill.
For sure.
It's very fun. But then once I am like in my final look, people think that's it. And it's like, that's not all.
And fire.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so then it was very fun to like surprise people a level further, bring out some fire and like, you know, run it down my arms, run it down my body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very fun.
That's really cool. Dang. So
maybe you could incorporate.
Maybe.
Some fire. Maybe.
I'm a little scaredy cat. Like when it comes to, like, I wanted to learn how to dragon staff spin. I think that's like more of the safest route because it's like if you've never seen a dragon staff, it's like a long staff that's like, you know, your arm span kind of length, but at the top it like coils around and then there's like little flames on the end of it on both ends. So it's kind of like, I'm trying to think of like another thing to describe it similarly to. I mean, it's like a torch, double-ended torch, but like multiple little lights. Mm-hmm. And it looks really cool when you spin it because those little lights just dance together so beautifully. And the chances of you getting like hit by the flame is a lot smaller just because it's further apart.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Or at least that's what I've heard. It could be different now. Like the person who told me probably, you know, might not be telling me entirely the truth just to get me to try it.
No, I think they're right. I don't know who's telling you this. I think they're right.
Okay, cool.
Especially because if you're able to, you know, practice with it unlit, you can really get some motions down, mm-hmm. get really comfortable first before lighting it. And then that way, you know, like, okay, I'm not going to smack myself in the face.
Exactly. Because it's like pretty heavy. Like it's
my friend, it's not a light tool. Rest in peace. Masumi Max. She used to go to Wasteland out in the desert and does a fire act, but she has like it's like a fan, like katana.
Ooh.
But without the flaps, but they're just like, they're like little prongs like that. And they just out. She lits them on fire. She does like a whole, it was beautiful.
That's cool.
Yeah. Which, oh my gosh, big rest in peace to Masumi Max. Mm. I never met her.
Oh.
I think I might've been a little too young when she was like in her prime. Mm. And oh my God. Big rest in peace. She's just like an iconic performer. For those who don't know, look up Masumi Max. She's amazing.
Yeah.
I think I know who you're talking about.
She's like one of the first people I've met moving out to LA. We'd be like her and her husband. We all became friends. Me and my ex and him. And we just go to like Bar Sinister and all this stuff like that. And yeah, she was amazing. She was really cool.
Was she an actress as well?
I know she was a model, like import models, cars, whatnot. She was in like, I think she was in Maximum a few times.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'll have to look, because I'm pretty sure I know who we're talking about. Like, I have a visual in my head, but I might have the wrong person.
She has a beautiful, sick red dragon tattoo on her back. It's just amazing. Oof.
But that being said, yeah, I feel like you should try Fire Fans.
Yeah.
As well. Ooh, yeah.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, because that also is something where you can really get the grip, get a grip of it unlit, and then light them. And for burlesque.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're used to, I think I've seen you perform with, like, feather fans.
I mean, in my living room, but not, like, I want to take a proper class.
Okay.
But there's not a lot of people that teach feather fans anymore. Mm. Like, they've kind of been weeded out of burlesque in the sense that, like,
that's so sad.
Neo burlesque has become so popular and people aren't really reaching for their fans anymore. So I'm trying to find a class, although Miss Met Youth has told me, like, if you can't find anyone, I'll help you out. So she's kind of my homie right now with burlesque, just like helping guide me and teaching me like all the staples, because like, in my opinion, especially with any art form, you should learn where it comes from before you just like dive head first. Like, you should understand like the history of it, the people that came before you, pay homage, give, you know, their flowers, because like, without someone starting it, we wouldn't get to enjoy it. So she's doing a great job of educating and like keeping the history of burlesque alive. So although it, like, you know, from time to time you can get a little bit like, yeah, but burlesque is different now, it's good to know where it comes from. It's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But oh my gosh, feather fans are so iconic.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I think they're one of my favorite things.
Really?
Yeah, they're so fun. They're, oh my gosh,
they're really they're a lot harder to use than I expected. Like, when I first got them, I was like, I've seen people use these a million times on stage, I can do it. And I was like, my wrists, oh my god,
they are heavier than you expect. They're like heavy, and it requires so much control. Yeah, literally, you're doing lots of like wrist flicking. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're really fun to play with. Like, I've had a good time like just experimenting with them on my own. But yeah, definitely looking into trying to find like a class for that. And LA, you think, would be the hub for learning like clowning and like stilt walking. And like, honestly, a lot of times it's like who you know that will take the time to teach you. Like you said, it's hard to find people that will take time away from their craft to teach someone new.
100%.
And I'm not sure if that's like, because you've been in LA longer than me, I don't know if that's like a new thing after the pandemic, or if that's just like the nature of LA is that everyone's maybe a little bit more like, no, this is my thing, I don't want to teach.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder if it's newer, because when I first came to LA roughly 10 years ago, there were a lot of community events that I haven't checked in a while, but like, so they might still exist. I'm not sure. I need to check.
Yeah.
But yeah, there used to be like fire meets, and there were these photo meets that would happen downtown where it was largely a lot of Cirque performers that ended up going to these photo meets, like a lot of clowns, a lot of, I would see people like doing fire performance just on the street just for these like little photo meetups. And I haven't seen a lot of that. Yeah. Unfortunately, since the pandemic, I worry maybe it has gotten a little more gatekeeping.
Before the pandemic, there was a huge pirate community that I only see. I only see now at the Ren Faire on Pirate Days, but they used to go out to like Long Beach or like Shell Beach Cove and like do these festivals, and there'd be fire breathers, jugglers, fire staffs, sword fighting. I was part of a group called Pirates for Hire. We used to do sword fights and reenactment stuff like that.
Cool.
And it just all stopped. It just, you know, just... But you would meet all kinds of people, carnival folk, all in pirate form. We'll just take over like a whole area by the beach and just set up like booths and stuff and restaurants, businesses. But like, it was really cool. It just stopped, you know?
Sucks. I also feel like the performer economy as a whole has completely been like, not squashed, but like, it's not the same anymore. Like, you could throw a rock and there'd be somebody looking to hire you for a gig. And lately, I have been seeing like a lot of those opportunities are dwindling just because of like the economy and like, you know, things are expensive right now, not to dive too deep into it, but people just don't have the fun money that they used to hire a band to come play at their party, or a princess performer for their child's, you know, birthday party or whatever. It's like, I just think like, maybe it's not so much the gatekeeping in that sort of like selfish way. It might just be more of the gatekeeping because there's not a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, I think it totally could be more of a survival mode situation because unfortunately yeah, performers are not essential workers. What? So, you know, like, far from it. So they are kind of the first thing to be cut.
Yeah.
They're sort of like the most optional thing when it comes to like parties and events, mm-hmm. which is really unfortunate. Because, you know, as performers, like, that's what we love to do. That's what we want to do. But it is so reliant upon the economy doing well.
Yeah.
That, yeah, like, I don't know. But I do see there is still some, there's not a ton, but there's still some corporate work. In fact, okay, something I just want to, I want to quickly talk about.
Yeah.
I find it really interesting that a lot of people have this notion that if you do some kind of unconventional career, that there's no way it pays well. Mm. When I would tell people that corporations will pay a stilt walker, for example, $300 an hour to come to their corporate event, like, they would be absolutely bewildered.
Yeah.
That I would make, you know, $900 in 3 hours, I'd get hired for the night, and that would be my day's worth of work, essentially making a grand and walking away.
Yeah.
And in 2019. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think there really is a whole performer economy, but it is unfortunately reliant upon the rest of the economy.
Yep. doing
well. So no judgment behind, if anybody is feeling particularly gatekeepy in these tough times, I don't judge you at all.
Right. Right.
I get it.
We're just trying to live.
We're just trying to survive. And if you are trying to survive and whatever, do what you got to do, girl. Like, I'm not judging.
Or like rap parties used to be huge for movies, and they would hire entertainment, you know, and like that was, at least like, there was a performer that I used to know kind of well when I first moved here, that was like his bread and butter, is that like they would hire him to come do these events because, like, one, he wasn't going to be creepy or weird to like the actual celebrities that were there for the rap parties.
Huge.
Because if you're creepy and weird, they're not going to bring you back.
You're never coming back.
No. Exactly. Like you have to know that boundary and just like stay away kind of thing. But then also, it's like they had the money to hire like this, like, we'll just hire somebody to come entertain us at this rap party.
Yeah.
And, like, they would put tons of money into it. And now, like, I don't hear about any rap parties anymore.
I used to make a lot of money just being hired to go to those rap parties as a bartend.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But now there's a union, and then there's a whole bunch of other people.
There's a bartending union?
Yeah, it got
whoa. And not a sex worker union?
I mean, I was gonna say good for them. Like,
for like private
we need to get on that.
For private events, yeah. And it's like, I used to just be the guy word of mouth, and I didn't charge that much. I'm like, yeah, it costs me. You want to bartend? I'm like, yeah, as long as you guys got everything going. And then all of a sudden, companies, and like, let's say like the movie people, right? The big wigs. Right. Like, we need something that's more insurance and blah, 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 blah. And so they just got like a whole team. So there you go. It cuts me out. It's kind of like acting, you know, there's a non-union work and there's a SAG work.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, I can get more non-union jobs, but a union job pays more and it's more beneficial and stuff like that. So that kind of messed up around 2019. And then all of a sudden it was just like, okay, well, private events now are kind of like, you know, you got to get a part of a group. Like those EDM parties or whatnot, you see at like the festivals or whatnot. There's a whole crew.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole crew of bartenders or whatnot. And you have to, there's a long waiting list to get into that.
Wow.
Like, I tried and they're like, oh. There's so many people in front of you. I'm like, Cosmo, I could try to talk to my guy, but there's like 100 people ahead of you that want to get into these things. So it's easy money. It's just stupid mixed drinks and go. You don't have to talk to anybody, and they make a lot of money.
I feel like, did you make a killing in tips?
I did.
Yeah, because people are so happy.
Oh, tips?
People tip more when they're happy. I'll tell you what.
I tell people now, I'm like, if you have a party and you need a bartender and you're inviting me, let me bartend for free. I'll make the tips. That's where my fun is. All right. I want to help you by not paying for, you know, an expensive bartender.
Yeah.
And I'll just make the tips because I can make the tips. I am very comfortable with that. I know for a fact I'll make tips.
Mm-hmm. You know, just one time I got hired to bartend, and it was only because it was like for a friend of a friend's party. Mm-hmm. But it was this like, I don't know what to call it. It was a party in the Hollywood Hills, like almost like a cliche.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a guy that tipped $100 on water.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
And I think he was just flexing. He had a date with him. So
there you go. You benefit
from that.
Yeah, I think she saw and he was like, 100. I was like, okay, I'll take it. Yep. Like, whatever.
You're like, cool, bro.
Oh my God.
Do you want another water? Like,
yeah, exactly. But oh my God, I feel like we're kind of reminiscing about the good old days.
I know, right? We're kind of like, yes.
When the economy was good.
There's a guy. Oh, there's God. A guy that comes to my sports bar. I'm a bar back, and he comes to the sports bar, and nobody talks to him. He's like this older gentleman. He's always listening to rap in his headphones, and he's just like he's moving around. He's bobbing. Nobody talks to him. The bartenders come up. They grab him his drink. That's it. I come up to him. I talk to him. Hey, how you doing? Blah blah blah. Tips me $20 every time I go up to talk to him.
Wow.
And he's like, dude, thank you for keeping me company.
That's so cute.
No worries.
Aww. Oh my God. You know what? Okay, maybe I'm a little DeLulu about this, but. I wish we could bring host clubs to the U.S.
Ooh.
And I bring that up because that is exactly the situation, Cosmo, mm-hmm. that you're describing is like, yeah. I want some company. I want to pay somebody yep. who's going to be a fun person yep. to hang out and talk to me.
Yep.
God forbid. But maybe I'm like, okay, maybe not in this economy. I know we're like in harsher times, but when the economy's better... I'm just saying, maybe I would love a host club.
Yeah.
That would be so fun.
I mean, maybe. So here's the plan. You know, the economy is like tanking right now. All like businesses are leaving. Prime real estate.
Yeah. True.
You know, yeah. like all these like old businesses that are, you know, they were ready to retire anyways. Prime real estate becomes available. The only thing that sucks about that is that whoever owns the building a lot of times can up the rent.
Yeah.
And then it's a tax break for them.
Yes.
So there's no incentive to fill that spot. But prime real estate, cool idea. Hmm. You could outdo,
who knows?
You know what I mean? Like yeah. it's yeah. possible.
Who knows what the future holds?
Hey, I thought about like, hey, rent me for the holidays. Take me to your parents' house, whatnot, so you don't want to go alone. You know?
Oh my God, rent a boyfriend.
Yeah, because people do that.
They do that. It's very, like, it's big in Asia in general.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't see that here. Does anybody rent a boyfriend here? Let us know.
Let us know in the comments.
Yeah. Rent a girlfriend, rent a boyfriend.
I'm cheap.
He's like, listen, I just like the Thanksgiving meal. I just like the Christmas dinner.
Yeah, I could be whoever you want with accents or whatever like that. Seriously, I could talk the crowd.
That's amazing.
Well, if we still have time,
yeah,
I have one Reddit story. It's a little circus related.
Ooh.
So okay. I thought it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we down?
I think we got time. Let's do it.
Okay.
I can't see the time from here. I'm just gonna assume we do have time.
We do have time.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay, so since we were talking about some circusy things, am I the asshole for letting my 9-year-old nephew mess with my juggling knives?
Wait, letting him? Oh.
Yeah, dog.
Oh, man. You're the asshole. Just kidding. Done. Just kidding.
Already. We don't need to read this.
But are they sharp?
Wait.
I don't know if you're the asshole. You're the idiot.
Cosmo's about to be like, nah, let him get used to it.
Wait. Exactly. It's the best way to learn.
Teach him young.
Like, exactly. Let's go. Get him into circus school.
He's thinking ahead. He's like, I need a revenue source, and I'm going to use my 9-year-old nephew to get him into the circus. Let's go.
Listen, people tip more with cute kids.
Yeah, they do.
This is true. Exploit your children. God. No.
This is a joke.
It's all a joke.
Oh, good.
Or is it?
Okay. I had recently traveled to my home state for the funeral. Oh, no. Wait, sorry. Wild opening. I had recently traveled to my home state for the funeral of my great uncle who had passed away. Oh. I only met him once or twice when I was a child, and I barely knew him, but my parents were quite close to him and insisted that me and my sister come to the funeral. My sister has one son who is currently 9 years old and is obsessed with anything relating to the clowns or the circus. So whenever I meet him, I bring him some of my juggling stuff, and I usually show him my juggling routine, and then I let him play with some of my equipment. Okay, first of all, based nephew.
Yeah.
We love that for him. Me and my sister were staying at our parents' house, and she went with my parents to sort out some stuff with the funeral home. She left me with her son and told me to watch him while she was gone. This last summer, I had started juggling knives. Buddy. So I brought them with me to entertain my nephew. He seemed really impressed. Of course, he's 9 years old, buddy. Oh my God. He seemed really impressed and asked if he could play with them. This is where you say no.
Yeah, this is where no.
No.
Well, wait. Keep on going.
All right.
I'm gripping the chair. I'm like, oh God.
I was a little reluctant. You don't say. I was a little reluctant, but the knives were quite dull.
Hey, see?
Okay.
See?
And I made him wear long sleeves before touching them. He tried to juggle them and almost immediately dropped one, which sliced through his sleeves and cut his arm a little bit.
Well.
And we're done.
And that's it.
Knives away.
I quickly put a bandage on the cut and he seemed okay. My parents and my sister arrived home shortly after, and my sister got worried as soon as she saw the bandage on his arm. I explained what happened, and she started yelling at me about how I have no regard for my nephew's safety and that she'll never trust me with him again. This led to a pretty heated argument, and in her rage, she pushed a bottle of liquor that I bought off the counter, which shattered, leaving glass and liquor all over the kitchen floor. I was very mad because this bottle cost me nearly $200 and I knew that my parents were looking forward to it. I demanded that she pay me back the price of the bottle plus another $15 to make up for the emotional stress and the work of cleaning up the shattered bottle. She refused and soon after took her son to the hospital because she was worried about his arm. And when she got back, I asked her again to pay me back for the bottle. This time, excluding the extra 15 I previously asked for, and she still refused.
Huh.
This led to another heated argument, and I threatened to break every glass and ceramic object in her possession if she didn't pay me back.
Damn.
And she has refused to talk to me after this argument, and my parents think I should apologize to her. I understand her being upset about the scratch on her son's arm, but that doesn't give her the right to basically rob me of $200 and keep me from my nephew. Am I the
facts?
Okay. What do we think?
Okay, so the title of the story is a little misleading because he didn't include anything aside from like the knives bit. Okay, so I don't think I would let the child juggle the knives. Let's go through
each thing. First off, agreed.
Yeah, like no.
What are you doing?
Even though they're dull, no.
No.
Uh-uh.
Not without direct parent permission. This also isn't your child. He is your nephew. He's family. But this is something dangerous. You need to be talking to his mom.
Yeah.
What? Continue.
Cosmo, would you let the 9-year-old juggle the knife?
Yeah, because, you know, my uncle used to, like, give me, like, shots during New Year's. And, like, when I was, like, 9. And, like, didn't tell my mom, and I tried it, and it was bourbon. Maybe that's why I like bourbon so much. But I was like, it was like, it was cool. It was me and my uncle's thing. Now, if he had like knives, like he did have knives, but like I never, I knew better with knives. But seriously, I think it's okay. The knives are dull.
Noted. If I ever have a child, do not leave them alone with Cosmo. So it's phase two of this story.
Well, clearly they weren't dull enough. They sliced through his shirt and his skin. So he says they were dull. I question how dull
they're
were
dull
they?
for an adult, okay?
I see.
The kid is kid is still fragile.
Yeah.
So next phase. the mom knocking the bottle off the table.
Okay, now that's
but
that's
was
a
it intentional?
Move.
Okay, let me look back because I think that matters.
I thought it was like accidental, but then it sounds
in her
like
rage, she pushes a bottle of liquor that I bought off the counter. So it sounds like it was an accident. She's just like, what the hell are you doing? Knocks a bottle off.
Still.
I kind of think that makes her a bit of the a-hole because like, sure, in your rage things do happen, but knocking a heavy bottle of glass and liquor off a shelf, you have to be really flailing.
I guess, but I don't know. I think
that's like that's not even overacting. That's just like straight out. She went to physical like craziness.
That's
like
what I'm thinking too.
Like that's a kind of a whack job to me. Like, whoa, okay, I understand you're pissed off, but whoa, what are you doing, damaging things like that? You know, so
I don't know. I can't blame her. No. This is her baby. She comes home and her baby is cut up, and she's like, "God forbid, I don't know what else happened."
Scars, just it's you know, it's You know how many scars I got from growing up, Ben? I learned my lesson.
Okay, but that aside, how do we feel about OP demanding for the money back?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, now you have to pay me for this. How do we feel?
We gotta buy her kid a new arm.
Yeah, I think the arm might cost more and the hospital visit might cost more.
The arm was fine. It was just a cut.
Yeah, but she chose to take in case of cross-contamination. You know, it could have
tetanus. Yeah.
Does he need stitches?
Yeah. Who knows? I think I would have to see the depth of the cut, to be honest, because to me it sounds like a little like yoink, but I don't know.
Well, if the kid was like that's the one thing he let out. Like, how did the kid handle that? Like,
this kid sobbing? Yeah, how deep is the cut?
Yeah.
Is it because at some point he says it's a scratch, but then somewhere else, like, I don't know. How deep is it actually? I feel like he's not giving us necessarily enough information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, then, if it's traumatizing for the kid, then yes, that's kind of messed up but it was just like a little scratch, like a ding, like a...
Right. If it was maybe a little scratch and he's like, you know what? Okay, yeah, we put the knives away. Like, we tried this. Obviously, this is too dangerous. Yeah. We take them away. Okay, you know, you still messed up, but you're not necessarily the a-hole.
Yeah.
I think where it really gets me is when he's like, I'm going to destroy every glass in this house. And what are you saying?
The $15, like, well, I got to clean this up fee? What are you Airbnb? Joking? Yeah.
That pushed me over the edge. I was like, okay, you can't just say you're sorry.
Yeah.
Well, that is the sister.
Oh, my God.
You know, brother-sister rivalry, you know. You broke a $200 bottle of whiskey or something like that. It was supposed to be for the parents.
True.
And I'm going to break every stupid little thing that you got from Home Goods in your house. You know?
Like, they're escalating.
Drama. Yeah.
I don't know. Would you guys give this an Everybody Sucks?
That's what I would give it. An Everybody Sucks.
Except for the kid. The kid was cool, man. He's going to go to school the next day. Like, check out the scar.
The kid's still on his exam.
Yeah, it sounds like he's fine.
Yeah. What is Reddit?
Okay, top comment. Wow, seriously. You are definitely the asshole in every sense of the word. And for some reason, you don't think letting a kid play with knives is a big deal? I wouldn't let you near my pet rock, much less a child.
Ooh.
Emotional stress? I'll break all your stuff? Are you kidding me? You sound more like the 9-year-old. Yes, you are the a-hole. 112 likes.
Dang, I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
That was a good one.
The post itself only had 12 likes. So the top comment has like just ratios.
Obliterated it. Yeah. Dang. Oh, I love Reddit.
Oh my goodness. Gotta love Reddit.
Oh, it like, I don't know what it is, but it just fills me with like,
oh my gosh,
drama. Well, thank you so much for not only getting me caught up on Miku, but also a little bit of your lore and bringing us a fun Reddit story. You are such a delight.
Thank you, Dare. It's always fun to be here, and yeah, I had a great time.
Do you want to let everybody on not on social media, do you want to let them know where they can find you on social media?
Sure. So yeah, I am Sugar Vale on everything. Sugar, S-U-G-A-R, Vale, V-A-I-L. Yeah. And I hope to see you around, guys.
Yeah. Go check out all their stuff. That way you don't miss out on any of the building tutorials that you post, which are really fun. Or just like your general personality is so lovely. Like, you're just...
Thank you, dear.
You're like a sunshine of rainbows.
I could say the inside. Same.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Works. And Cosmo, where can everybody find you on social media?
You can find me at Cosmo666 on Instagram and on the Cosmo Network on YouTube. Got a new show called Anna Mondays. Go check it out. Awesome. It's amazing. That's where you can find me.
Yeah. And don't forget also, you can leave us a review anywhere you listen to us on either Spotify, Pandora, wherever you listen. We would love some more reviews on our show. Be sure to leave like good ones though. Like, don't leave anything bad. And we have a complaint box episode coming up very soon. So be sure to go write in your complaints. Again, be nice-ish. Like, we'll take the honesty. You will be anonymous, but you know, leave us some like really valid complaints/criticisms. We'd love to hear what we're doing that annoys the fuck out of you.
Oh my God.
That's right, I'm swearing. It's gonna be a great episode. Hey, and don't forget to stay Delulu because it's the Salulu. And join us on Patreon because we have some questions for you too.
All right.
Bye.